Six-pack time. Six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come in and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. For the last time this season, it's our six-pack of defensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
I put this at six, but the goal line stand at the end of the first half. And I didn't love the play call by the if I'm a Steelers fan, but the Ravens actually made a tackle there, which is going to come up later as a theme in this game. But the Ravens went to half up 10-3 and should have had a lot of momentum. Alas, that didn't happen.
My six is the blitz was not effective. Look, Zach Gore, I can't say he didn't like try to blitz enough, but for me, it's when and where he blitzed, where on the field and what downs. That was puzzling to me. So he did blitz on 11 occasions, and this is on a day where, you know, threw the ball 30 times. But 8 of the 11 blitzes were on first down. Those blitzes were not that effective. He only blitzed twice on second down. And one of those was the 14-yard completion to Freiermuth on 3rd and 6, which was a bit of a backbreaker. He didn't fool anybody with the blitz. We didn't see people being deployed as blitzers we hadn't seen before. We didn't see twist and stunt games creating any havoc up front. And we didn't see any sort of adjustments once the pendulum started swinging against this defense, which usually happens in the fourth quarter. This will be it for Zach Gore. And this season, Zach Gore's defense, when they face guys who've won playoff games in the past or who are going to the playoffs as starters this year, 3-9 against those teams, 270 passing yards per game. 19 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions on 441 attempts, just 19 sacks on 486 dropbacks in those 12 games. Pathetic 4.1% sack rate. He did not have the goods, or frankly the players, which we'll get to do anything to push back against competent passing games.
Number 5.
Gigi touched on tackling, and I've got another particular culprit of this individually higher in this list. But the tackling in the secondary is garbage. And if all you're going to do is collect DBs, and your $20 million middle linebacker is going to play like a $3 million middle linebacker, then your safeties and your corners better damn well be able to stop people once they catch passes in front of them. And the Ole tackling, the not wrapping up, the bad pursuit angles, the over-boogieing in the secondary, when you knew they're all going to be underneath passes to Gainwell and the tight ends, it was abject failure. And again, if this general manager just wants to collect defensive backs and none of them make plays on the ball and none of them really get sacks when you blitz them and none of them tackle that well except for Hamilton, who left this game and he's really a linebacker now, then what the hell are you doing? What are you building? What is your defensive roster?
My five is Marlon Humphrey, which in what should be his last game.
He was the worst example of the secondary players who can't tackle.
This should be his last game as a Baltimore Raven. At least, it should be his last game as a Baltimore Raven. He was terrible.
Number 4.
Mike drop about Marlon.
Mike drop. Number 4 is the missed tackle.
You're good.
Yeah.
Trippy would have wanted it that way anyway. Yeah. Trippy's like, stop, I don't want to hear anymore about Marlon.
Where's Trippy?
Yeah. He was in Pittsburgh.
I hope he's all right.
That's okay, Beltway Ben. The 4 is the missed tackling. It was a disaster last night to the point that it got Nate Wiggins hurt at one point because Nate Wiggins had to dive in and make a play because 3 different people missed a tackle. I think it was on Kenneth Gainwell. These guys, it's been a disaster all year, and then when it mattered most last night, in what was a playoff game, and don't get it twisted, that was a playoff game, they suck tackling.
4 is... A fraud is a fraud, and Fred Smith's kid is a Nepo baby. But I have to give him credit. They pounced the moment Kyle Hamilton left the game. It was a no longer lobs over Kyle Hamilton, less high percentage passes. He could now throw on a straight line. He could throw fastballs to seam routes, knowing if Hamilton ain't there, nobody's going to cover Freiermuth. We could put even broke-ass Thielen in the slot. He's going to catch a go route in the seam. The seam is wide open. He attacked it immediately the moment we had the friendly fire between Gilman and Hamilton, and it did change the game. How about 3.6 air yards per attempt while Hamilton's in there? 13.2 when he leaves. How about 15 of 27 for 96 passing yards while Hamilton's on the field. 11 of 18 for 222 with three touchdowns and a QB rating of 121.5 when he leaves. But, like, we see this happen in games sometimes, and you're like, why aren't they immediately pouncing? He pounced the way Tom Brady would pounce
third
in these situations.
Third and 10. Right, the play after, it's third
and
10.
We're going right where that guy would be.
Yep.
And I'm daring any of them. All you did, DaCosta, is get DBs. Let's see if any of them can run with Freiermuth, who can't run, or run with Thielen, who can't run, or run with the carcass of Valdez. Put anybody in the slot now.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jason. The game really changed there, and it was a rough night for our Darius Washington as well. Yep. Missed tackles for him. He couldn't keep up with Freiermuth down the seam. And I am surprised the fact that they blitzed 11 times, but I guess it was just so poor that it felt like they didn't blitz that much. But they were not blitzing in critical moments.
He wasn't bringing six or seven either. He wasn't doing wink stuff. No. Like he just he can't.
Six pack of defensive observations in Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number three.
Roquan Smith is a massive problem. He was terrible last year. He was a total failure this year. And he's got a target on his back. I love to hear what coordinators are saying, watching this film from week to week as they're planning to just throw to their running back. Everybody in the world knew Gainwell and Warren, and they're going to do it till they stop. They couldn't stop it. The only guy who did intervene is Trenton Simpson. Now we got a broke 42-year-old quarterback running for 20 yards, running for more yards than our quarterback because Roquan can't even spy him. They got inside runs when they wanted it. This guy doesn't bring energy. He doesn't bring impactful hits. He doesn't thump. He's a tackling liability, and he is one of the worst linebackers in the league in coverage to where he can't cover the number two running back threat for these teams. And they're stuck with him for $20 million next year. DaCosta's made a lot of mistakes, but the Roquan thing is his worst. It brings out the worst in him. When he thinks he got over on something, he doubles and triples down on it to show you how smart he is. Why? Because deep down, he's insecure. He knows he's not very good at his job, and he knows that I know he's not very good at his job. But giving up what you gave for him, and then a very small sample where Chicago wouldn't pay him that, and then to pay him that kind of money, knowing you're not going to pay pass rushers now. He chose Roquan over pass rush. And what did that get you? It got you a horrible middle linebacker, and it got you no pass rush whatsoever. And he did the contract so piss poor that you're stuck with him for another year. He got outplayed by Trenton Simpson, and which should have been a defining game for him on the road. You know who was bringing the energy? You know who was leading the huddle out? The guy who just got here at the trade deadline. Bro, that's a joke. $20 million for that? Fire the GM.
By the way, Roquan did break the huddle pregame.
No, watch that game as it moved on.
Yeah.
Watch that game. Go back and watch it.
Oh, I know. My three is, and it could be one, but there's a couple other things that I had to put higher, but their pass rush. It's non-existent. They have two sacks, but one of them was just 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers couldn't beat Tavius Robinson to the corner, so he stopped and got tackled for a loss. That's a sack. They had one real sack the whole game. Next week's going to be a different story for the Pittsburgh Steelers against Houston, but again, another embarrassing week for the pass rush.
Number two.
The Hamilton injury was devastating. They and Jason gave you the numbers earlier. Just I think they win the game. I'm not happy they lost, but I think it's for the best that they lost. I think they win the game if Hamilton doesn't get hurt. It completely, as Jason said, the first play, he's out. It's third and 10. He hits Freiermuth in the seam because that's where Hamilton would have been. Aaron Rodgers, he might not have his body like he used to. He's still got his brain.
Except he wasted those timeouts and couldn't get his own play called
helmet,
in time.
Because the helmet was broken.
Oh, stop.
The helmet was broken.
He's worried about Arthur Smith.
Collinsworth called him out. Yeah. Like, dude, stop. You've been in the league 20 years. Call play.
So he knew immediately where to go with the football because Hamilton's not there. And they did it over and over and over again once he was gone.
Pass rush is higher. It's the single most demeaning part of their roster construction. Two is just another fourth quarter collapse. I mean, this is now four coordinators in 5 years. They have the worst fourth quarter EPA per True Media since the start of the 2021 season. This year, fourth quarter, 5.4 yards allowed per play, 26th in the NFL, 5% sack rate, 30th in the NFL, 72 passing yards allowed in the fourth quarter this year on average, 30th in the NFL. They got picked apart by a 42-year-old who should have been hitting the wall in the fourth quarter in a way that Just go watch Aaron Rodgers. Go look at his eyes. Go look at how fearful he was last week. Not just Myles Garrett, that someone on that D-line was going to hit him. And then watch the way he operated in the clutch here. He wasn't up for it last week with the game on the line. Last night, he's baking cookies back there.
Number one.
You can't win in this league without pass rush. And it really is ridiculous. And it demeans you as people who invest their time, money, and energy in this, that they continue to say things like nobody appreciates pass rush more than us, and they let Judon walk out of the building because they don't want to pay him, and they draft hurt kids in the second round who never amount to anything and pretend it didn't happen. They trade away for a safety who gave up more 20-yard plays than anybody in the NFL. They went through, on the heels of the Justin Tucker thing, they bring in someone with Mike Green's background because he's going to be such a difference maker, and he's a total nothing burger. And I don't even blame him. The rest of their pass rushers suck, so how's he going to be any good? Aaron Rodgers, pressure rate when not playing the Ravens, 21%. I'm sorry, 27%. Pressure rate when he plays the Ravens, 21%. That's a 6% difference, 6% on 21. That is a massive change. Aaron Rodgers sacked 5.5% of the time when he's not playing the Ravens, 2.4% of the time when he played the Ravens. For this broken down freak show jerk to drop back 85 times in two do or die games against you and to only be touched 6 times and only be sacked twice and to throw 81 times without you turning him over when you know where the ball's going. For him never to throw 250 yards on anybody else except for once in Detroit and to throw for 294 and 284 on you when you knew they weren't running the ball. It's an absolute joke. And why could he do it? Because he feared no one on your roster at all. And he certainly didn't fear your scheme. These are fireable offenses that go way beyond coaching. This was a joke on paper all offseason. It was a joke on paper week one. It was a joke on paper the day before the trade deadline. It was a joke on paper the day after the trade deadline. And it was a joke every time they faced a real quarterback, as I pointed out earlier in this exercise. Fireable offenses.
Number one is we watched that first Steelers game and said, there's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to do that again. He's got no DK Metcalf. He was better last night. That's embarrassing.
I think the 1 and 2 are appropriate because it's season-long issues. The pass rush has been god-awful all year long. When your leading guy with sacks has 4, that's horrific.
28th for the year in pressure rate, 31st in sack rate. It's a joke.
Fourth quarter collapse. You had 2 chances to end the game. 2 chances. And you weren't even close.
By the way, congrats to Tavius Robinson with his sack last night. He leads the team with 4.5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Travis Jones has 5. He had a sack last night, too. So 5 and 4.5. Those are your leaders. Nnamdi Matabike was there last night.
Not a pass rusher on that roster.
Coming up next, the Derrick Henry of it all. What a first half, and then what a second half. What do we think of the King in the Ravens' last game of the season? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.